Once a month, every month for as long as I've been alive. My mom has taken me and my brother to my grandparents' farm for the weekend. Grandma grew up in Germany right after a big war. She says that when she was a kid, her family had to grow everything they ate, and they had to make the most of the things they had. She doesn't like to throw anything away, and she grows a lot of food. So her farm is sort of a maze of old things and fruits and vegetables growing in and amongst the old things, and everywhere there is pretty ivy growing. All day long at Grandma's place, me and my brother and our cousins are just as free and rowdy as we please. We build rafts out of styrofoam and roofing shingles, and we float them down the slough. We go up onto the barn roof and sing, "Glory, glory, hallelujah, with nothing on at all." And we actually do it with no clothes on. We climb Grandma's apple trees and we make tree forts in them out of old tables and chairs she has lying around. Grandma's apple trees aren't tidy little trees. They're all as tall as the barn. She never prunes them, so they grow in every direction. They even grow down. I think that me and all the cousins are just as wild as Grandma's apple trees. At meals and at bedtime, we pile into the house. Grandma's house is a little bit like her apple trees. It grows every way. Every time the family gets bigger, Grandma and Granddad build another room off the side of the house. Grandma puts up scraps of wallpaper from the thrift store, but usually she can't find enough of one type to do a whole room, so one wall will have flowers, the other wall, teddy bears. She decorates the room with colorful rugs and blankets and chairs and paintings from the thrift store, too. All the rooms are sort of pretty jumbled rainbows, and they all look sort of the same as each other. But the rooms don't go in any regular order, like third door on the right, because they are always building new rooms on. It is more like go out of the kitchen, past the room with two freezers, then through a sort of mudroom, then take a left through the room full of toys, and then another left, and then that's where you'll sleep. When people visit Grandma for the first time, they get lost in the house. There is something else that makes all the rooms look the same, and that is the ivy growing all over the windows. Grandma says she will rue and regret the day she planted that ivy. She says that when they moved there 30 years ago, there were no apple trees, no barn or storage shacks, no greenhouses, no ivy. She planted the ivy, she says, because she'd been told it would grow good and fast and make things look green and luscious. Well, it did that all right. The ivy grows on all sides of the house, up and out, spreading in every direction, covering everything. Sometimes in the afternoons at Grandma's place, I get a little bit tired and I don't feel like building a tree fort or something with my cousins. So I fall behind the others, and when they're running out to the field, I slip quietly back into the house, and I wander from room to room until I find a room where there is no one, and I can only just barely hear the clink of Grandma washing dishes. And my cousins shouting out in the orchard is quieter than the bumblebee in the ivy right out the window. Lately on that type of afternoon, I have been learning to enjoy doing nothing. My mom likes to talk about how she sometimes wants to do nothing. I could never understand it before, but maybe now that I am 11, I can understand it a little bit, though I don't like to tell her about it. I lay on the bed and read an old comic book or fiddle with the edges of the wallpaper where it is fading. What I like best is to look at the bedspreads. All the couches and beds have a handmade quilt or a blanket covering them. And they all have beautiful patterns. Grandma doesn't make quilts or blankets like that. She says she doesn't see why anyone would have to when you can buy such nice ones at the thrift store for so cheap. But somebody made them. Maybe somebody very old. And when I am in a quiet room, the bedspreads look so pretty with the afternoon sun coming through the ivy to make patterns on top of the patterns on the quilts. Once a visitor came to Grandma's house, It was a young lady, some relative's friend. When Grandma showed her to her room, the lady said, "Cool ivy." And Grandma said, "It is not cool. Look, it is over every window and growing all over the house. And in the spring, the sap runs from every blossom and runs all over everything." I guess that's true. The ivy grows all over the outside of the house. Grandma and Granddad go at it every year with the loppers, but no way can they keep up with the ivy. Actually, in some places, the ivy has pushed its way through the cracks and window frames and is growing inside the house. Granddad says, "It reminds me of the English countryside." Then he goes out with the loppers to cut the ivy down from the third-story chimney. But even with his tallest orchard ladder, Granddad can't reach the top of the chimney. So he cuts it bare as high as he can. But then there's a big poof of ivy growing right at the top of the long, bald chimney. Sometimes I try to imagine the place without any ivy. I can't do it. I once saw a picture of it before the ivy, but it didn't seem real at all. It seemed like a picture of a place that didn't really exist. A place that existed only in a dream or an old movie. So then what I like to do is, I imagine the moment of Grandma planting the ivy. She would have only had to plant one little plant. Just a few leaves and a root. Where did she plant it? In front of the house? On the shady side? There isn't any one spot on the property that seems like the center of the ivy, but is all the ivy on the property connected? Is it one giant plant? Is it competing or cooperating with itself? I can't figure it out. And what Grandma knows about it, she says she doesn't remember. I close my eyes and try to imagine it. Grandma kneels down, breaks up the root ball of the little plant, and settles it into the soil. The cousins like to climb all over the ivy. There are a lot of big mounds of ivyware everywhere around, and I never used to wonder what was under them. It just never occurred to me to wonder. But of course ivy doesn't climb itself. Well, it does, actually, but it climbs something else first. It climbs buildings and rock walls and pine trees and old Pontiacs, anything else. It is really great for climbing because there is always something to grab. Sometimes one vine snaps off in your hand, but that's completely fine because there is just a mass of vines under it. It's like a million vines. We don't just climb it. We jump from mass to mass, and we hide in it and chase each other in the ivy. Sometimes your foot sort of goes deep into it, and it's kind of a creepy feeling, like sinking into the clutches of an unthinking monster. But like I said, I never used to worry about how deep the ivy was or what was under it. But one night last year, on the last real weekend of the summer, we were playing kick the can. We always play after dinner when the sun is setting, because that way you can creep around in the dusk without being seen too easily by whoever is it. So I was creeping around the back side of the barn, under a little line of cedars, back from the big plum tree. My little brother was it, and I heard him coming for me, so I backed up into the shadows and stood there. Not breathing. As he passed so close in front of me, I could feel the wind moving. When he passed right by and gone off around the barn, I took a huge gulp of air and looked behind myself. I was butted up against a mound of ivy. I was surprised at this because it was a huge one, and I couldn't remember ever noticing it before. Maybe because it was just sort of in this weird, forgotten corner of the property. I'd surely seen it, but it was like my eyes had just glided past it. It was such a big heap of ivy. I'd never climbed it before, and I didn't think any of the other cousins ever had either. For a second, I got the idea that maybe I could climb on top of it. And then I could get a good view of my brother when he went around looking. And then maybe I could climb from the top of it to a cedar branch and then drop down and kick the can. But as soon as I thought of it, I knew I wouldn't do it. Because something about that ivy scared me. Really scared me. Also, I didn't care about kicking the can anymore. All I wanted to know was, what was under that ivy? My heart was pounding. I just had to know. What was under there? It was too wide to be a tree, but too tall to be a rock wall or a stump. Moving forward, I followed the wall of ivy until I came to a definite corner. I went around it and followed that ivy wall, holding it with my hands to get a clue of what was inside, though I was afraid to learn what it was. And anyway, under ivy, there is always more ivy, and I couldn't make myself dig deep. Suddenly I felt air. The ivy I could see and touch here was just a dangling curtain of vines. I parted it with my hands. Inside was a darkness. I couldn't sense any more than that. I was so frightened I had to force myself to stand still. Slowly, my eyes adjusted. The little bit of light shining through the place where I'd parted the ivy curtain was organizing the darkness into forms. I could see a bench, stacks of old pots. It was a potting bench. Vines of ivy drooped down from the roof. The roof was ivy, of course, but there were little glints of light everywhere. The setting sun coming from behind me shone faintly on old dirty glass. Broken shards glittered on the potting bench, and I could now faintly see grimy glass made up what was once the walls of the ceiling. I thought, with a shock, of Grandma's bright, beautiful, sunny greenhouse, where she grows tomatoes and peppers. It, like this, was a building made out of old windows. This forgotten darkness had once been a sunny greenhouse, too. But this one had been taken by the ivy. The ivy had broken down the glass in dozens of places and smothered it inside and out. The old wooden window frames were warped and bowed from the pressure. I imagined a vine rearing back to smash through a window pane. Then I got my feet and I ran. I ran all the way back to the house. My brother called my name to tag me, but I ignored him. I wasn't thinking about kick the can anymore. Gasping for air, I reached the porch. Granddad was sitting out there, just sitting and watching the night come in. I must have looked pretty upset because he asked me, "Hey, what's up?" I caught my breath and I started to feel pretty silly. What had I been so scared of? I shook my head sheepishly. "Kick the can," I muttered. Granddad laughed. "Spooked yourself, eh?" I nodded. A minute passed. "Granddad, did you used to have another greenhouse?" He sort of squinted like he was trying to remember. "Oh yeah," he finally said. "The first one we built. The ivy got it." All of a sudden, it was night. "You know, a few years back I had to redo the plumbing and I had to get at the pipes on the far side of the house there. So, of course, I had to cut back a section of the ivy from the outside wall." Granddad wasn't looking at me as he spoke. He was looking at the sky. "You know, I found two bicycles and a wheelbarrow in the ivy. Just in that little patch I cut back. Two bicycles and a wheelbarrow. And the darn thing about it was, I didn't remember leaving them by the house. I didn't remember them at all." I couldn't think of anything to say, so I went inside. "Time to call it a night, I guess," Granddad said, and he followed me in. Inside the house, the air was steamy from Grandma washing dishes. Grandma was struggling with the silverware drawer, jamming it into its cabinet. This darn drawer is so hard to close, she said.
The drawer's probably coming apart, Grandad said. Why don't you swap it out for that junk drawer on the bottom? We hardly ever use that one.
I already tried that. It won't go in at all. The cabinet is completely warped. This drawer is the only one that will fit it.
I stared at the drawer as Grandma wriggled it into its place. A broken drawer in its cabinet, warping together in a steamy kitchen in a big old house, being squeezed, being taken by ivy. The door opened and all my cousins came shouting in, and then the adults announced it was bedtime and started herding us through our bedtime routine, my brother railing at me the whole time about how he'd caught me out and I should have been it and everything. It was an hour before the house was quiet and I was alone in my bed on the second floor. In the darkness, I lay on top of the bedspread and I watched the moon rise through the ivy that was steadily growing over the window and would one day block it out entirely. As the moon moved through the sky, the light wrote the patterns of the ivy on the walls and the floor. For hours, I didn't sleep. I just lay there, thinking of how, when I wasn't there to part the curtains of ivy where a door had once been, a greenhouse sat, always, in total darkness.